Hey guys, what's up? It's me, William the Opinion Updike, here with Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. So today I am alone again. Hello darkness, my old friend. Charles will be back tomorrow, but I'm going to be doing one last solo cast today to get you guys updated on everything from the weekend, as well as some upcoming matchups. I'm going to be going over Big Trouble in Little Cleveland, talking a little bit about my concerns for the Pelicans. Then we're going to get into a big, long Clippers segment. We've got the matchups from the Rockets game, as well as the recent Wizards trouncing that we just went through. And then we're going to take a look at the OKC matchup. And it's Monday, so that means our weekly segment, The Freshies. And I'm going to be going over some lineups that I'd like to see some more of. All that and more coming up right about now. So, the biggest news that probably happened this weekend is Cleveland, which seems like they are completely and totally imploding. They fired coach Ty Lue after a 0-6 start to the season. This is a little bit perplexing to me. I don't really feel as though you could blame this on Ty Lue. Kevin Love has been out with a toe injury and is expected to be out for upwards of a month, which is just going to be a huge loss for this team that is really, really struggling. For a team that won an NBA championship, you know, two seasons ago, I guess going on three now, it seems as though they are just so far from those days in the sun, you know, and it's not just LeBron leaving. There's been a series of just really horrible decisions that have gotten this team to the point where it's at now. Moving on from Cleveland, this weekend we had some great games. The Jazz handed the Pels their first loss in a very convincing fashion, 132-111. Ricky Rubio, big favorite of the pod. He had 28 points and 12 assists. Great night for him. The Miami Heat took down the Blazers, which was a loss I wasn't expecting for the Blazers, with a final score of 120-111. This loss came despite a very convincing Damian Lillard performance with 42 points. It just raises more questions for me about this Blazers team. We saw them completely dismantled last year in the playoffs by the Pelicans, obviously getting swept despite being the three seed. I just don't know that this season is going to bode really any better for them than a first-round exit. So, best of luck to them. Upcoming tonight, we've got some good matchups. We've got the Lakers versus the Wolves, which is the battle for the 2-4 teams of the West, both with records of 2-4, not the number 2 and number 4, obviously. Two teams that are kind of underwhelming, underperforming. Sorry to be harsh on both these guys. Maybe they'll get it figured out. We'll see. So far, you know, it's been what it's been. We've got the Raptors versus Bucks tonight, which would be really the most exciting matchup of the night, except for Giannis is out with a concussion. Kawhi Leonard's going to be out for rest. So I don't know what to make of this game, what to really expect. It should still be semi-exciting. It's a little bit of a bummer. The Nuggets also play the Pels tonight, which is an exciting matchup. Both teams right at the top of the Western Conference, sitting at 4-1, with four wins and only a single loss. So I'm a little bit concerned for the Pelicans, actually. Going to segue into this. Anthony Davis is not going to be playing tonight due to an elbow strain, which is a massive loss, obviously, for the Pelicans. You know, he's an MVP candidate, only six games in, so take that with a grain of salt. But, you know, I really hope that this doesn't become something lingering, and I'm glad that they're willing to rest him, despite how much this team needs Anthony Davis. My concerns for the Pelicans is if their hot start kind of has belied some of the issues that their bench has. I mean, I don't know how this team really functions without Mirotić and AD on the floor. Obviously, they can't play every single minute, all 48 minutes of every game, but their bench, I feel like, is really pretty underwhelming And I think that I would be pretty surprised if the Nuggets didn't pull out the win tonight. And if they do so, that would make the Pels fall to 4-2, which would put them tied in third place with our own Los Angeles Clippers and also the Utah Jazz. Along with that, the Pelicans just have an extremely hard schedule coming up, so I hope the best for AD, that he's not out for too long, and they can figure it out. That's about all I've got for general NBA stuff. Next, I'm going to get into the Rockets and the Clippers matchup from last Friday, as well as the huge win over the Wizards yesterday, and then we're going to finally get into the Freshies and the preview of OKC versus the Clippers. So let's get into that right now. All right, so Friday, another great win for the Rockets, for the Clippers, I mean, over the Rockets. We're now 2-0 against them. There was a lot to like about this game. There was a lot of really interesting stuff going on. One of my favorite things, at least from the first half, was there was some guard-on-guard action that kind of played out like a chess match. It was really interesting watching either end of the floor anytime there was Patrick Beverley or Bradley versus Chris Paul. There were some really interesting sequences. At one point, Patrick Beverley like baited Chris Paul into a foul, and then immediately on the other end, Chris was able to do the exact same thing to Patrick Beverley, and then Avery was able to goad Chris Paul once again into another. It was just these forces, like these very defensive-minded players. Chris Paul, obviously a great two-way player. Beverley and Bradley, incredible defenders. It was really interesting for me to watch. I generally, you know, am not always the most excited about defensive heavy matchups, but this was really rewarding to watch. There was some issues with Shea and Lou towards the end of the first half of the game. I think Lou committed something like 4 turnovers in 45 seconds. There was just a lot of careless passes and miscommunications. This is something that is going to be our downfall. This is something that's going to be the death of us. I've talked about the turnovers being an issue. I've talked about, you know, not being careful in transition play really being a detriment to this Clippers squad. And it was on just full display, as terrible as it could be in this 45-second stretch. So I really hope that we can work on that. The ball movement wasn't the greatest against the Rockets. We really need to make it a priority to get more guys moving off ball. Sometimes things get very stagnant, and we depend on like some ISO play or some drive and kick. And I just don't think that's going to cut it if we want to be up there in the running for the playoffs in this very loaded Western Conference. Some great things. Shea played more minutes than anyone on the team. He finished with 31 minutes. He had 10 points, a rebound, and an assist. He finished plus 13 on the night. Once again, like with a victory that high, I would take that plus minus number with a grain of salt. We did win by, you know, 20 points. Harrell, I mentioned he was going to be a huge key to victory. He definitely was. He had another monster night, just like he did in the last matchup versus Houston. I really kind of love this Harrell versus the Rockets matchup. I really enjoyed it. He played 27 minutes of action, finishing third with 30 points, 6 rebounds, and 1 assist. I guess my only criticism would be that I would like to see that rebounding number even higher. Not a single offensive rebound, which I think is as much a detriment of, or not a detriment, but it's as much as due to the system and the way the offense was running that night as it was anything Harrell was doing. But obviously, I gotta see more, even more boards than that. I want to see Harrell averaging a double-double every night. He's got it. He's, you know, I think that he's proved it. Bradley got his game back. So great to watch. He finished with 14, 1, and 3. You know, his shot is looking better. He's still crushed defensively, which is just what we've come to expect so far this season. But it was really good to see him getting his rhythm back. Milos, the sleepy god, is back. Great to see him get minutes. Jerome Robinson got his first NBA points. So great for the Clippers' own Brock from Pokemon. Ty Wall is back. great to see Tyron Wallace out there. You know, we've been talking about how he hasn't really been getting enough minutes. We'd love to see him at any capacity, even if it's just 4 minutes, 5 minutes a game. We got to be developing these guys. I love seeing these hungry two-way players like this. Key matchups, the backcourt was really encouraging, although I will say that Chris Paul had a really bad game, and Eric Gordon also did not have a hot game. A few concerns. Beverly and Bradley still only shot for around 30% from three. For our starters, I'd like to see that number up. You know, 30% still isn't really elite. It's maybe enough to keep defenses honest. I don't really know. I think that you still might get the paint packed a little bit if you're only shooting for 30% or less. I think, you know, we'd like to see that number up a little bit more. We'll see what we can do. And a big concern for me was the losing Houston still out-assisted us 21-17. Milos led the Clippers in assists with five, so praise be to the sleeping god. We need to get that assist number up. We need to be moving the ball more. And now let me get into the great Wizards-Clippers matchup of last night. Clippers obviously just dumping all over the Wizards. 104-136. All Clippers, all day. Bradley once again looked great. He had one of my favorite moments of the game, which was a huge rejection in John Wall's face. Love to see that. Beverly, obviously, you know, he's staying active on both sides of the floor. It's great to have Beverly back, and I hope that he can maintain this level of play throughout the season. Shea led the team in assists. There was an awesome sequence where at the end of the first quarter, he nailed a half-court shot, and then to start the second, he got a steal and got a bucket on the other end. He's just looking better and better the more minutes he gets. Obviously, you know, there's some things he's still got to learn. He's still got to be careful with turnovers, but I'm excited to keep watching him grow. As you know, we're high on Shea. We're huge Shea guys here. So Toby led in points and rebounds. He had 22 and 11. Despite the double-double, it seemed like kind of a quiet night, and I mean that in a good way. He wasn't really dominating on the ball. He was an integral part of the offense working together. He also, like, seeing this rebound number is so great. He has really worked on that. I think that that was a bit of a weakness on him from last season coming into this year. Clearly, he's put a ton of work into it. I think by the end of the season, he'll be comfortably averaging a double-double. I don't know. Toby's looking really good. Really happy with that. There was a couple careless transition passes that really could have turned over, that could have turned into turnovers. Luckily, that didn't happen. It's one of those things. I feel like I'm sounding like a broken record. I'm going to have to keep harping on it, though, until we fix it. We got to be smart in transition, and we got to watch the bad passes. So what did we do well this game? I think that the starting lineup really proved what they're capable of. We saw why those guys should be starters. Chuck sent me a text that, you know, he was wrong on Avery Bradley. We were both wrong on Avery Bradley. There's a reason that we're not NBA coaches. You know, we were really worried about this lineup and how it was going to continue to function. When it's functioning at peak efficiency, man, this is such a fun team to watch. The ball movement was really, really good. Someone had the quote that ISO can create good shots, movement creates great shots. And Doc commented on that as well. The guys were being really unselfish, willing to forego the good shot to make the extra pass for a great shot. And that unselfish play and, like, kind of egalitarian scoring is going to be key for a team that's built like the Clippers, where we, you know, I hesitate to say that we don't have stars, but we don't have the all-stars. We don't have the guy, you know, that everyone knows around the league. So it's going to be super crucial for everybody to contribute in an unselfish way. We took the lead early, and we continue to execute well on both ends of the floor. We never were trailing in this game. The team shot 55% from three, which you gotta love. It's completely unsustainable, but still very encouraging. Our bench, you know, the Wizards do not have a strong bench whatsoever. Shout out to Austin Rivers, who is back. Sorry to dump on your bench. You guys weren't very good. We outscored them. Our bench outscored theirs 73-29. There's some things that still make me nervous. High turnover rate. We matched the Wizards with 14, and we had 15 against Houston, and they only had 13. We're currently ranking 19th in the league in terms of turnovers. We average about 15 per game, and there's no reason why a team with a strong defensive identity should be in the bottom half in terms of turnovers. Like, that's, we're tied right now with Cleveland. So Cleveland, we should not be turning the ball over that much. I'd like to see that number down from 15 per game to an average of, you know, I'll be optimistic and realistic. If we can get that down to 12 per game or less, like, you know, less obviously ideal, but if we can get that down to around 12 per game, I think we're really in good shape. My other concern is that both of these games were kind of gimme wins, and I want to see this squad close out tough games. Obviously, they did versus OKC. We're not able to do so against the Pelicans. It was good to see our numbers improving. We're now 8th in the league in points and rebounds per game. However, my concern is that we're still 22nd in assists per game. So I think that speaks to the stagnancy of our ball movement, and we've got to really step that up. Also, our defensive numbers are slipping a little bit. We've slipped from 2nd to 9th in offensive points allowed. We were previously a much stingier team. We're now averaging around 107.3 points against us. And the thing is that's worrisome about this is defense tends to get worse as the season goes on. Guys get tired. They realize that it's really hard to sustain that level of defensive intensity throughout an 82-game stretch. So I don't want to see this trend downward anymore. But that's all I got. Stay tuned for the next segment where I'm going to go over the preview of our upcoming game against the OKC Thunder, as well as a look at the freshies, which is lineups that I'd like to see getting some more time. But first up, guys, we all love a night out, right? You're listening to this Clippers podcast. You're obviously a fun person if you love the Clippers. So whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on the Clippers or any other favorite team, I can't imagine who you could like more. But with Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. So Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price, or you can look for seats in the section and row of your choice, which is great if you have a preference. You know, I'm like pretty much courtside only. JK, I wish. But to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more, so you can save even more money. So go to the App Store or Google Play, wherever you get your apps, download the Vivid Seats app, use promo code LOCKEDON, that's all capital, LOCKEDON, like the name of this podcast, for $20 off of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off of orders of $200 or more as a new customer. So be sure and check that out, guys. Anyone that supports the pod, you should support. And now, on to the OKC versus Clippers preview. OKC, obviously 1-4. They're hot off of a close win over the Phoenix Suns. So hopefully we can take out this win. Last time we met up, we beat them 108-92. The key matchups, I think, are going to be the forward battle. Offensively, I find Gallo and Toby to be better than Paul George and Jeremy Grant. Obviously, Paul George has been kind of streaky lately, though he can have hot nights. I don't know. I want to see Toby and Gallo be able to be competent defenders. Obviously, Grant isn't as big of an a threat offensively, so they are going to have to work hard, however, on the offensive end. Obviously, George is a great two-way player. Grant is very solid defensively. So I want to see lineups that kind of emphasize each of their strengths. And I'll touch on that a little bit later in the freshies when I talk about lineups. I want to see more. Another key to this game is going to be paint points. So I want to see both how our guards are going to be able to finish in and around the rack, as well as I want to see the centers, you know, like throwing down lobs, pounding in and out. Last meeting, we both tied with 40 points scored in the paint. A very large portion of our points, obviously. I hope to see that continue. I guess I'm a little bit nervous about their center positions versus ours. It seems like Adams is questionable, so I don't know if we're going to see that matchup tonight. Filling in for him will be Nerlens Noel, who has been playing really great. I don't know if I like that matchup for any of our centers. Maybe we get Boban out there a little bit. I don't know. He outsizes Harrell by quite a bit, so we're definitely going to have to keep up the intensity defensively for the center position. And we're going to have to be battling for rebounds. You know, rebounding, we have to be a better rebounding team. One of our keys to success is going to be getting more second chance points. Last time we met, they generated 24 second chance points against our 9. That's not going to cut it. They didn't have Westbrook last time. They haven't had their best scorer. We're going to need to cut down on those second chance opportunities if we want to come out with this win here on the road. Another key is we're going to need to continue to punish in transition. Last matchup, we outscored them by 40% in fast break points. And I think that speaks to how good this team can be when we're functioning well in transition. I know I get down on it a lot of times. However, we can be really great, and we need to communicate well and continue to do that. Another key to success is going to be moving the ball and waiting for the good shots. Last game, we had more assists than them, 21 versus 18. I'd like to see that trend continue. I'd like to see those number of assists pick up. Hopefully, the great ball movement from last night's game against Washington will carry over on Tuesday. And then a final key to success is obviously just going to be our backcourt versus theirs. I'm curious to see how they're going to be able to shut down Westbrook and also continue to communicate and switch on defense. So I have utmost faith. I really think that we can come out with a win on this one. Come back tomorrow and we'll go a little bit more in depth on this matchup, as well as I'll give my actual prediction for the score. But right now, got to get into our final segment, the freshies. This is who we want to see get more playing time. I've really been loving these three guard lineups. I don't know if everyone is a fan, but I think that it allows us to stagger Tobias and Gallo really effectively, which I think is good. They play well together, but I do think that sometimes, especially in that starting lineup, they don't always have the freedom to score, whether the looks just aren't being created or what. I'm going to have to watch more film to really digest that. But it seems like staggering them is a good idea, and I think the three guard lineup is a great way to do that. It seems like Tobias kind of plays his best at the four, so far at least when I was looking at lineups. And it seems like he really plays well with Harrell at center or Shea in the backcourt. So we gotta emphasize that sort of stuff, because we need to be maximizing Toby. He's going to be, you know, an under max, but still a very expensive player to keep moving forward. And we want to make sure that we're getting that return on investment. Along with my three guard lineup, I loved Shea, Milos, Lou Williams, Mike Scott, and Boban, who played only 5 minutes but finished with 17 points and were plus 5. I think Luke, if you insert Luke in this lineup, so Shea at the one, some combination of Shea, Milos, and Sweet Lou at the one through three, and then you insert Luke at the power forward and Boban at the five. That's a really exciting lineup for me that still defensively is, I mean, it's not a complete sieve. You know, there's some give and take. Versus the Rockets, I really love the lineup of Shea, Lou, and Milos with Scott at the power forward position and Harrell at the five. They played a total of 14 minutes together for 52 points and finished plus 18. Really awesome lineup. I'm loving the three guard lineups. And then I got one last one for you guys, which is going to be the garbage time lineup. I hate to say that, but I don't think that we'll see it much against key competition. But that is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander at the one, Jerome Robinson at the two, Ty Wallace at the three, and obviously they're all kind of guards, so this positioning is a little bit fluid, with Mike Scott or Luke at the four and Boban at the five. This setup with Scott at the power forward played 7 minutes, but put up 22 points against the Wizards, which was great, played a lot of fourth quarter time. They had a plus five for the night, which, I mean, you got to take with a super grain of salt because that was a blowout victory. I'm a little bit curious to see how this would work on an A squad. I don't think it would fare that well. Like I said, I think it's going to be kind of a garbage time lineup, but it's still a garbage time lineup that I would like to see more of. So that's going to wrap it up today for Locked On Clippers. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. I'm your host, William the Opinion Updike. Come back tomorrow. Positive Chuck Mockler is going to be back from his trip, so he's going to be extra positive. We're going to dig back into that OKC Clippers matchup a little bit more, as well as get into Twitter Tuesdays, some general NBA stuff, and more news on your Los Angeles Clippers.